Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Anna Kang and Christopher Wyant, author and illustrator of I Am Not Scared. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 340 of the podcast with Anna Kang and Christopher Wyant. Anna and Chris have created a couple of books together, including the 2015 Theodore Seuss Geisel Award-winning picture book, I Am Not Small. Their newest collaboration calls readers to look their fears head-on in the nose, but know that we all feel scared sometimes. We talk about how there are different kinds of scared, and how different people can feel scared in different ways towards the same stimulus. Then we get into the importance of creating that safe space in order to help children explore those fears. It's a beautiful conversation, and one that may bring to mind a child or children in your own life. I hope you enjoy the listen. Here's episode number 340 of the podcast with Anna Kang and Christopher Wyant. Welcome to the podcast, Anna Kang and Christopher Wyant. I'm glad you're both here talking to me tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having us.
I suppose I shouldn't be totally surprised that you're both here at the same time, given the nature of your relationship, but I am awfully glad that I get to speak to you both and that you both make such beautiful books. So, Anna, why don't I give you a chance to introduce yourself first to the listening audience?
Well, hello. My name is Anna Kang. I am a children's book author. My first book is You Are Not Small. And the following two in that series is That's Not Mine. And the soon to be released, I Am Not Scared. And my husband is my partner in crime, Christopher Wyant. And he illustrated all of these books, including separate from the series book, Can I Tell You a Secret?
That's right.
Chris, that sounds like a wonderful introduction, but is there anything else you want to add?
You know, it's hard when your wife introduces you. She's got it, you know, she's got it all down.
Fabulous.
This is the benefit of having the writer next to you.
The magnetic, charming.
Magnetic and charming.
Christopher Wyant.
Yeah, I'm also a cartoonist for The New Yorker magazine, and it's been all the children's books I've done have been with Anna. It's been just a treat to do.
It's been great. I've loved the stuff you've done, and congratulations for awards and accolades received. You Are Not Small is such a wonderful book, and to have it followed up with That's Not Mine, and now for me, and soon for your listeners, I'm Not Scared, is just great. I love the characters. I love, Chris, your style of writing. I love, Anna, your command with words, and how you essentially are, for my money, inviting readers to read your books together. That's what I most enjoy. Often in the library, I'm taking on a voice and so are my students. Or when I'm reading with my son, he's reading with me. It's something that I'm so grateful to have that invitation in your words.
Oh, thank you so much. You. That's very nice to hear, because that is our goal. So it's great. I mean, you never set out with specific goals in mind. I think for me that hinders the creative process. But when you have a dream and a wish that children respond to it in that way that you just described, that really is wonderful to hear. So thank you.
Oh, of course. I like that the way you've sort of carried yourself through these three books is that wonderful thing to do with children, which is upping the ante. I feel like the theme running through these is upping the ante, which I love in comparison in that way. But to play with, to come right out and say it, and I'll give you a chance to share with people what I Am Not Scared is all about. But you actually hit on the fear that I had as a child. This was the one. And so being surprised not only to receive this book too. In the mail, but then go, oh my word, this is me. This is totally what I went through. was really quite a personal connection off the bat. So why don't I let you, Anna, share what this book is. I'm Not Scared.
Well, this book came from the fact that I also had a lot of fears when I was younger. When I was a child, I was afraid of lots of random things and not so random things. I actually was fine with roller coaster rides, ironically. It's only when I got older I didn't love them so much. But as a child, I was fine. But I had other weird fears. I didn't like going to birthday parties and not necessarily knowing everyone. Or I didn't like going to a new place where I didn't know the teacher. I had a lot of that kind of anxiety when I was a child. I was very sensitive, and I wasn't that brave, intrepid warrior going to a new territory kind of a kid. Not at all. So I guess that's something that you really do still remember when you're a grown up. You remember that feeling because I guess it was very raw and very powerful. So when I sit down to write and I wanted to write something with these characters again, but something that expressed the evolution a little bit of their relationship. So the first book, it was conflict right off the bat, big outward conflict based on what they look like. And then the second book, they're not attacking each other personally, but over an object. And the third book, I was hoping it would be, the conflict would be external. It wouldn't be about each other, but that they would side with each other and help each other to overcome this conflict. And I thought the perfect way for a child, and coming from my experience, would be through fear. But I also wanted to keep the theme of perception and perspective by keeping their fears separate from each other, that it's okay to have individual fears. So that was the point of I Am Not Scared, to express that we all have our own fears, and we can overcome them with a friend or someone we care about.
Yes. Chris, you also were afraid of roller coasters. I should say to the listeners, the book prominently features two characters that are afraid to get on a roller coaster, among other things that they're afraid of. But you also shared that as a child?
I share that as an adult.
Oh!
and I have two young daughters who are completely fearless when it comes to roller coasters, and now I have to fake it.
Yeah,
and they keep getting older, and the roller coasters are getting higher.
And they like it.
You know, I don't want to have a heart attack on the roller coaster.
And what's bad is they're at the age where they can't go alone.
No, they can't go alone. That's right. So each time they're pushing me to become a little bit more fearless. What I like about what Anna wrote, what I love about this book is that is that she explored also, which I think is a great place to explore, which is how fear, there's just different kinds of fears. And not all of them are scary, right? You know, and so roller coaster is actually a fun fear, right? Where we go for a thrill ride.
For some people.
For some people, yes. And for some people, myself, it's seriously not. And I love that idea that we can actually look at fear maybe with a little bit, you know, a different way. So that was really fun for drawing this. And so all of my fear goes straight into drawing those pictures because I went on the roller coaster that actually scarred me as a child was one of the ones that during Hurricane Sandy, it was in the Jersey Shore, It fell into the ocean.
Were you happy about
that? Yeah, and you see the roller coaster in the ocean. I don't remember. Oh, that no. was the comet.
You're like, yes.
And I was like, yes.
It's dead.
It's gone.
I finally defeated the comet.
Yeah.
Yes, I felt so much better. So, you know, he did to me. I did it right back. Okay.
Oh, I love that. Well, the playing with fear, the way you were bringing up the idea of different kinds of fear and approaching this together, I thought was really neat the way that we can be afraid at the same time and be experiencing a different kind of fear for this toward the same object is neat. The way that in your book, do you mind that I read some of the words? Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
The smaller character says, I'm not trained to read the entire book, but but I'm finding myself. Seeing that the character is pointing to the larger, saying, "You are scared." "I'm not scared. Are you?" "No, I'm brave. This will be fun." "You look scared." "Well, maybe a little." And it says, "Just don't worry. There are much scarier things than this." And they go on to name the other scary things. The universal experience of hiding our fear in shame or embarrassment or whatever from others. But then being forced to confront it, I feel like amplifies the fear, which is a neat thing to be playing with in a picture book. I don't know of many picture books that address it that way, but it rings so true. So that was a really, really good execution with that, Anna.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. I think a big part of children and grown-ups is that we hide our fears, don't we? And it really does amplify them when you hide them, because there is a shame. Like, we are taught to be brave, and that fear is something to be ashamed of, because it makes you somehow you think that makes you weak. I don't know where that comes from, but I know that children, they learn that somehow, don't they? I don't know, from parents who are well-intentioned, but saying, be brave. There's nothing to be scared about, you know, or things parents say, and they don't mean it in a negative way. They're just trying to stop the pain. But I think what ends up happening is you feel, well, maybe it's not okay for me to be feeling afraid.
That's mm-hmm. right. And oh, my word. Am I talking to my therapist right now? This is amazing.
Right? But
yes, Anna, you're totally right.
Yeah. So isn't it liberating to say, no, you are afraid.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
And then to have your friend say, it's okay, I am too.
Right. Yeah. And then let's be afraid together.
Let's be afraid together. I thought, Chris, one of the really cool things that you pull off in this book, and in the others as well, but to talk about fear, it's particularly effective when we look at other people's faces, and when children are looking at the faces of the characters, we can take on their emotion. We can feel mm-hmm. those feelings, and to watch both of the characters in this story at first look pretty confident, despite the cover deceiving them, showing how afraid they are, holding each other. To watch their faces seeming confident until that roller coaster comes close, until the snake is on that roller coaster all jostled up. I feel like really puts a reader in that place of sympathizing with the character, and maybe perhaps empathizing with them if they've been through whatever fear they've been, and projecting themselves onto those characters. I thought you really nailed that in the arc of the story. Yeah, watching the faces change, going like, yeah, I am. I can feel my lips are quivering as I'm reading the words.
It's a horrible feeling, isn't it?
It is
feel
terrible.
Yeah. And I think Chris really did capture the terror that we all have felt from time to time. And it's a horrible feeling to feel you're doomed. I mean, you're on it. They got on and there's no getting out.
Yeah, I think we went to Hershey Park in Pennsylvania and with the girls. And I was with my eldest. And I realized that the scariest part of the roller coaster is the line waiting to get on the roller coaster.
The anticipation
is horrible. And
your
imagination
going to it. Yes, go. Sorry.
And I'm trying to be a dad. You know, she's nervous because she hasn't got, this is the biggest roller coaster she's been on. So I want her to feel calm. And I'm becoming like a wreck inside, you know, and I'm like looking,
sweating,
identifying birds and anything I can distract from. But yeah. I think my face, like, she could see the quivering, the weird smile that a parent can have, and like these subtle things, until I started talking to her about, this is scary and let's see what happens. And it actually, then we could talk about that. And that was so much better.
And actually, that's what influenced the writing in the beginning. While they're waiting, the orange guy is really, really frightened. And part of the purple guy's thinking is that, well, we can talk about these horrible things we're afraid of. Because I know Chris did that with our daughter, where they just talked about scary stuff. They just talked and tried to get their mind off of this thing and just be very present. So that was the idea in that in the beginning of the story.
Yeah, diffusing the fear that way, I think, really helps. And I've been, Hershey is my old stomping grounds. I went there recently with, I think, with a group of students from my wife's school, because they do a music competition every year at Hershey, and she has a choir that performs there. And then you're in charge of chaperoning kids. And there's a good number of roller coasters now that make noises at launch because of their hydraulics or their magnets or whatever. Yeah. And so, or I get at Hershey, they even have a couple that have like a recording that's like, are you ready? Here we go.
Yes.
And you're just hearing that going like, oh my word, we can't turn back. And that becomes part of the attachment of that fear, or later the excitement, the story, the afterword, where you get to say, remember that part where they said that? And I could feel my heart tense.
Right.
And then I had this. It becomes part of the story, which is, you're right. And if you can talk about it, you can really take ownership of that fear.
Yes. I think if you're trying to put a lid on something that really naturally needs to be out, you're just making it worse. You need to let it out, you know? And say, and that's when... It's fun. When Chris and I, we did a couple of school visits with I Am Not Scared, and it was really great. We did K through two different schools, two very different types of schools. But what the kids really enjoyed was screaming and reading together the climax. And I said, we're going to read and scream this together. And it was, and I said, don't you feel better when you scream, I am scared?
That's right.
And you say it out loud, and they were really, all both schools, the kids were really smiling and laughing. They said, yeah, you need to say it. I'm scared.
Yes.
And it's okay. You are very normal. And it's okay to be scared.
I also feel grateful, Chris, to your art on that page, because we full out see the car careening down the hill off the tracks, just totally off the tracks. We are going, I am scared. And more importantly, too, Anna, your choice of words there, I am scared, the individual, we're not together yet. We're still experiencing our fear as an individual. Only at the end are we able to say we're here together in this.
That's
but,
right. Yes.
There's so much, exactly. So much going on in this book. I love it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you for noticing. That was very intentional, for sure. Exactly the reason why you said, which was that, yes, we feel very alone in our fears, don't we? It's a very lonely feeling, fear. And if we can express it and we can share it, we have it. You know, we do reduce that feeling, and because we give it to each other.
Yes.
So it feels so much lighter.
Well, and then you have your backseat driver, Snake, who just like raises eyebrows and is like, yeah, let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah, I like that he was a beneficiary.
There you go. And that becomes, after we conquer our fears, that becomes us as well when we pass
right.
it on.
That's right.
So this, oy, is great. What fun. I'm so glad that you are writing for the age that you're writing for, because you both are just, I mean, it's just perfect to write for that young. I mean, really, I'm reading your book to K-5, but knowing that the sweet spot for me has come with my six-year-old, who can read with me and who can feel those feelings with me. It's just a really good thing that you're doing. I hope you keep at it for many,
thank you.
Many more.
Can you tell that to our agent?
Sure, put us in touch. I'll let her know. I'll make charts
good.
And graphs and say,
right,
here's the effectiveness of each of
thank
these books.
Thank you. We would appreciate that.
Do you, are you, with this book coming out, well, this book will come out when this episode publishes. What else are you working on now? I assume you're probably finishing up whatever's next based on the timeline of publishing.
Yes. Well, right now, we have a completely new book. It's actually kind of, it's untitled right now, but it's about an eraser, and it's set in the world of school supplies and the hierarchy of school supplies. And it's about an eraser who lacks a feeling of self-worth because she feels she doesn't create anything. She only takes things away.
Oh, my word. I'm going to cry. Holy cow.
But she will learn her value through this story. So that is to come out 2018. And Chris is going to start on the art at one point. We're still in the notes phase of that with our editor. And Chris just finished the second Monty book.
Yeah.
Which is called...
Oh, yay.
Yeah, Will You Help Me Fall Asleep?
And our little Monty has amnesia. He totally. Will you help me remember my name? Will you help me fall asleep? He has insomnia because kids just can't fall asleep sometimes, and then they get anxious about not being able to fall asleep, and it's this cycle. So it's that's our next HarperCollins book is Will You Help Me Fall Asleep, and that's 20. When's that coming out?
That's 18 too.
Okay,
that's 2018.
Fun.
So we're just wrapping up the art on that. We're going to the last little bits in the cover soon.
Mm-hmm.
So can I ask then, what does, being that you live in the same house, I've spoken to a couple of people that live in the same house and make books together. What does your relationship or your process look like when you're doing that?
Usually, the way it's been in so far is that I'll have a couple ideas, then I bounce them off with Chris, and then he'll give me his impression of the idea, of the ideas, and then I'll go and write a couple of them, and then he reads it, and then he gives me feedback, not just in terms of an illustrator, from an illustrator point of view, of what's interesting for him to draw, and if he can envision it, but also point of view of story, because Chris is a writer as well, so from the point of view of story. So we really collaborate right from the beginning, and and then once the manuscript is approved and finalized and given the green light from our agent, then Chris starts to do characters.
Yeah, and then with on my end, Anna usually is working on a concept, because it would... All of our books that she writes have, you know, a secondary or a tertiary meaning. And so she's always saying, I'm thinking about working on this, or I'm trying to hammer that out. And I watch all the kind of iterations of this until she gets to the final concept. And then when I'm doing the art, it's often that I'm, I'll show Anna, obviously, the character sketches as we're developing character, or if I'm working on a page. And Anna went to film school, so she's also very good about seeing the flow of the book in terms of its action and so forth. And so it goes back and forth a lot together, which really helps out.
Yeah, it's right, like, to the end.
Yeah, it's like having both of us having an extra editor in the house.
Oh, that's great that you're able to have that collaborative relationship and be so critical of each other's work to make the story work out the best.
Yeah, I think it is very lucky.
On good days, yes.
Otherwise, we're just screaming at each other. But on the days that we're getting along, it's very constructive.
And Anna takes notes much better than I take notes.
I think that's a stereotype of women, but I think in our case it might be true.
it's great as it is. No.
It's perfect. Works. Don't touch a hair.
But it does help to go through.
You really do need a sounding board. But I would say the sounding board you choose is very critical, because I can't just ask anybody, because either someone be like, oh, it's perfect, or somebody else might say, wow, that really stinks. Neither of which is helpful. You need somebody in between who can make sure they don't just trash all over it and just thwart your creative process, but also give you really good constructive criticism.
Yeah.
To make it better, because it's hard, obviously, to be objective about your own work. So Yeah, I'm very fortunate that Chris and I can go back and forth. Otherwise, you're just talking yourself. Yeah. It is not healthy.
Yeah. And I mean, it's also good because we both know, I know, having Anna here, I know what she's trying to get at as an illustrator in a kind of a unique way, because obviously we're married. And so when I get her script, I know what she's going for. And sometimes we can punch things up or vice versa. She knows what I'm trying to do. If it's not working, she can say, you know, she knows what I'm trying to do. And so yeah. It's like, just, we're so versed with each other's own, you know, voice that it does help, I think, in the end.
Oh, I'd imagine. And Anna, something you said really was resonating with me about finding that right sounding board to critique you. I've been through a couple of different critique groups, and it took me a long time to understand that it's not just
right,
who
anybody
gives a good critique or anybody. It's really who is the person that gets your stories and your writing style, and then from there can give you the right feedback to make it its best version of itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That understands your voice and what you're trying to achieve, as opposed to just putting a rubber kind of stamp or a process on it. I think you're right. I think finding that right group or person is very important.
How did you come to write a picture book together then? You must have known to some degree one another well enough in your marriage. How am I dancing around saying this? How did you take the next step in your relationship to making a book together?
We're married. We should do a book together.
Exactly.
Let's make a book, baby.
Yeah, because you'd think, where does this come from? That, like, just because you're married doesn't mean you're going to do this. But
my wife and I are both musicians, but we don't write music together. No.
Right, exactly. But what's funny is, before we were married even, we were living in California at the time, because I was going to USC film school for my master's. So before we were even married, before I had even known Chris, I was always interested in children's books, just as a reader, as a fan. I didn't have children. I wasn't married, nothing. And I still would just read them. So I always had a connection to those books, and I would carry around my books from my childhood, the ones that were special, from apartment to apartment. So when I met Chris, he would actually make me these really sweet cards for my birthday and Christmas that were basically sweet children's illustrations. And so at one point I said, you know what we should do? And, you know, Chris was a New Yorker cartoonist, and he had a cartoon, a weekly and a more than weekly cartoon with the Hill newspaper as a political cartoonist. So he was busy, and he didn't have time for it, but I had many drafts of stories that I had written on my own, just that's because I wanted to try it. So then finally one day we decided it's time. We got married, we had two children, we moved away from California, we moved to New Jersey. I said, we're close to New York, the publishing capital, let's try it. And so that's what happened.
Yeah.
And it worked. The rest is history.
Yeah, it was.
A couple books later, still doing great. Do you find that your, just as a marriage question, do you find that your marriage has grown closer because of being able to work together this way? I mean, I know that having children has grown me closer to my wife. Having lived through certain experiences has grown me closer to my wife. Has publishing affected you both in any way?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think so. I mean, it's been a, you know, it's a, having children is the closest thing I think we can describe to doing
compare
a book together.
To, yeah, yes,
compare
it guess,
to, which yeah. is, you have this joint project that you're both on the same page on. You're trying, and it takes a lot of research and takes a lot of hope and
disappointment,
yeah,
and
right.
heartache. And I mean, it's not comparable really, but
no,
there
but
is
that,
a parallel.
There's a crossover there in that way, where I feel like we've had this joint, like having children, it's a joint experience that no one else on the planet will know exactly, you know, that we've had together creating these books. And it's, which is really lovely, because it's something not Anna and not me. It's something that we do.
Yeah, it is very similar together. To being parents. It actually, now that I think about it, it does feel like it, because our books feel like our extensions of ourselves, and half me, half Chris, that we really put our heart and soul into, our blood, sweat, and tears, and the successes and the disappointments we both feel together.
Yeah.
And it's not that dissimilar in that way, where it's 50-50, we're both in this, and you get a very nice letter from, let's say, our child's school, from her teacher. Oh, the joy. You get a really angry parent telling us something about her child. Oh, the crushing. I mean, it's the worst. You know what I mean? It's very similar in that way, because we're both so invested in the creation and the success. And I don't mean that in a monetary way. I mean in terms of the best way, in terms of the quality and the effectiveness in terms of reaching and communicating and connecting. And so you want to do it in a way that has a positive effect on the world. And that's what you want, isn't it, for our children, all of us? We want our children to connect to others in a positive way and not to do harm. And so it's similar in that way.
It's the greatest return on investment to have the children become those individuals. I completely agree. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Little ambassadors.
Little ambassadors. Yes. Well, listen, you both are making beautiful books, and I love them. I really deeply love them. We use your books when we do our Mock Geisel Awards. You've been circulated around our library, and I know, as you well know, that your books are in the hands of kids just learning how to read, as well as kids reading to one another. It's a beautiful thing you're doing, and I'm really grateful that we had a chance to talk tonight.
Thank you, Matthew. You're one of the nicest interviews we've ever met, I think. Well, met, you know, audio-wise, but listen to, really, truly, you have a very kind demeanor. So no wonder you make a very good interviewer. You should be a therapist.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I feel very calm.
I have the distinguished privilege of getting to talk to people like you, the right books that I connect with. And so I always know going into it, I've connected with this book. There's no doubt I'm going to connect with the people behind it, because I know that a book is an extension of you in so many different ways. So I'm grateful that was the case here too. I'm grateful, Chris, that we share a fear of roller coasters.
Yes.
Not me anymore, but I'll get back into fearing them as my son gets more daring and the roller coasters get scarier.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. The summer's coming. I'm getting nervous already.
No, it's okay. It's okay to be afraid.
And now I know what to yell. Now I'll be the only one who's saying, I'm not scared.
I love it. Well, before I let you go, I'm going to ask you a question that does connect with those readers that you'll be seeing, that I'll be seeing throughout the coming year as this book connects with others. So, Anna, I'm going to point the question to you first. I'll see a library full of children tomorrow morning. Is there a message that I can bring to them from you?
I would say to them to read as often and as many books as they can, because I sincerely believe that books give you power. They truly do. They give you power and strength, and this power and strength will carry them their entire lives.
That's beautiful. Chris, I'll ask you the same. What message can I bring to them from you?
That was a good message. I'm going to take that message for myself tomorrow. I would say to go tomorrow and be bold and try something new. Eat a new food. You know, paint with a new color. Read a new book, something that you wouldn't normally do. Try to stretch a little and see what happens.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 250 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them, Books Between, a podcast hosted by Karina Allen, helping to connect kids ages 8 to 12 and their parents, teachers, and librarians with books that they'll love, and the Best Book Ever This Week podcast, hosted by me, with book reviews about all sorts of amazing books. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referred to. Listeners, if this episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment at allthewonders.com or rate this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing this podcast with friends through Facebook, Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Laura Amy Schlitz shares The Princess and the Crocodile, a hilarious new early chapter book illustrated by Brian Floca. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.